And now, Eugene, you can win a washer-dryer if you can correctly tell us what your bride, Beatrice, answered when we asked her, what was the most embarrassing thing that happened on your wedding night?
Oh, he knows, he knows.
She put a piece of wedding cake under my pillow and I squished it.
You dummy! Oh,
sorry,
dummy!
Eugene. Your little bride answered that the most embarrassing thing that happened to you on your wedding night was you were impotent.
You think he'd remember that?
You told him that?
Well, it's true. You're just a complete fizzle.
You stupid dodo.
Well, our couple failed to win the washer dryer, but we'll be back tomorrow for Here Comes the Bride.
Young newlyweds just as cute as a bug in a rug.
Cute? They're disgusting.
I think they're cute.
Oh, come on, Vivian. Would you get on national TV and for the chance of winning a washer dryer, tell the world that on your wedding night, Arthur was impotent?
Of course not.
Exactly my point.
Besides, it wasn't all his fault. I was the one who insisted we order that last glass of champagne.
Please, Vivian, spare me the details.
Well, it looks like Victoria will be a newlywed pretty soon, huh?
I don't think so. I'm sure that she'll be staying on as my housekeeper for some time. Why?
Well, when she went off on that weekend camping trip with that young man, I thought it meant something significant.
It did. I believe it's called fun trucking. But I don't think they plan on getting married. I mean, after all, Hank is still an intern at the hospital. He can't afford to get married now. Oh, Walter's going to look so beautiful when we go out to dinner tomorrow. Look, not a wrinkle.
I'm just so excited about our dinner date tomorrow night. You know, Sheila Hackett said that just because that restaurant is in the Lancelot Hotel, we shouldn't expect ordinary hotel food. She said it's very continental.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about the restaurant at the Lancelot. Mm-hmm. They say the ambiance is wonderful.
Oh, good. I'll order that.
Did you get that, Viv? I want to hang up all this shit.
The bells are ringing for me and my... Oh!
Mrs. Harmon,
yes.
Right? You remember me? I'm Victoria's father.
Of course, Mr. Butterfield. What a surprise. Come in, please.
Thank you.
My goodness, did you come to Tuckpo all the way from that darling little island of St. What's his name?
Norman.
That's his name.
Charmed to see you again.
The last person I saw kiss a lady's hand like that was Charles Boyer in Hold Back the Dawn.
That's where I picked it up.
Oh, please make yourself right at home.
Thank you.
You know, Victoria didn't mention you were coming.
Well, one of our stewards fell ill, and I'm just filling in for him. But actually, I enjoy working the big 747 flight, you know, from Trinidad to New York, and it gives me a chance to visit with my daughter.
Well, I hate to meet and run. But I really have to be going. Maude will be in a minute.
Thank you.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Victoria isn't here. She's off on a weekend camping trip with her boyfriend, Hank. But Mr. Butterfield, don't worry about a thing, because Maude says there's not a chance they'll be getting married. They're just, fun trucking. And Mr. Butterfield...
Please, not another word.
Vivian, who was that? Mr. Butterfield, what a pleasant surprise.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Finlay.
Well, we never know when you airline people will show up, do we? Unfortunately, Victoria isn't here. She's off on a weekend with two or three or four girlfriends. I have something to do with Bible study, I believe. I'm not quite sure. Would you care for some coffee?
Bible study, eh? Mrs. Finlay, I consider you to be one of the most immoral, deceitful, lying, bodacious creatures to ever travel the face of this earth.
Well, we all have our faults.
Mrs. Finley, how dare you allow Victoria to go off on a camping trip and, as you Americans say, shack up for the weekend?
How dare you? I resent the use of that expression, shack up. I assure you, Victoria is not shacking up.
What would you call it, then?
Tenting up. Tenting tonight on the old campground. It's an old American custom. It's also an old American song. Look, I can appreciate your concern from Victoria, but I assure you she's doing nothing wrong. She's in love.
Mrs. Finley, there is a difference between sex and love.
Oh, but the difference is so small.
Mrs. Finley, if Victoria's mother were to learn of this matter, it would kill the poor woman. Now, tonight, I have to work on a 747 flying to Trinidad, but I shall return on Sunday, and I shall take my daughter back to the West Indies with me.
Now, look, Mr. Butterfield, you cannot force Victoria to go home.
Mrs. Finley, you leave me no alternative. I cannot permit Victoria to stay in this permissive atmosphere. Victoria was taught to follow the righteous path in a God-fearing home.
Yeah, it sounds to me as though it wasn't God she was afraid of, it was you.
Well, actually, there's really very little difference between us.
Think you're God. Now you think you're perfect. Now I can tell you, your fly's open.
Oh, come on, what? Cheer up. You're putting a damper on the whole evening.
Yeah. Walter's right, Maude. Now we've been looking forward to this restaurant all week. Please cheer up.
How can I cheer up, Vivian? You heard Mr. Butterfield. When he comes back from Trinidad, he's going to be taking Victoria home. I have never met a man more old-fashioned, more straight-laced, more stuffy.
He does have a point, though.
I forgot about you, Arthur.
Victoria, she's a wonderful person, and she's just like one of your family, and when she leaves, it's going to be like losing a daughter. But are you going to let that tragedy ruin your whole evening?
No. Let's dance, Bert.
Arthur, do something to cheer Maude up.
Captain?
Yes, sir?
Do you have frog's legs?
Yes.
How do you keep from jumping out of your pants?
Captain, I'll have a large steak knife for three.
Thanks. Never mind.
Boy, that was funny. Where's your sense of humor?
It's on the way to Trinidad in a 747. Look, I don't want to ruin everybody's night. Why don't I go home and the three of you have dinner?
No, Maude.
Oh, you can't leave.
The evening won't be any fun without you.
Yes, it will.
Look, maybe if I go to the powder room and freshen up and then come back and have a drink,
yeah.
Maybe then I'll feel like having a good time. Honey, would you get me a vodka martini on the rocks?
Move over. Move over. Move over. Move over. Mr. Butterfield is sitting right behind us with a beautiful young girl.
Did he see you?
No, no. He's sitting back there on the platform. Now, don't let him see you.
Okay, okay. Oh, boy, she is beautiful.
Butterfield can really pick up.
Yeah, he says he's a God-fearing man. What he is a born-again lech.
Walter.
Now, wait a minute. You know, Butterfield's flight might have been canceled. And the woman could be a stewardess. It's not uncommon for two members of the same airline crew to have dinner together.
That's a very good explanation. I bet it's perfectly innocent. It's
marvelous dinner, George. Would you please see that our usual brandies are sent up to the room?
Certainly, sir. And you're in room 747?
That's right. Come along. Hello, my love.
Good night, Mr. Butterfield.
Ta-ta.
Good night, Miss Trinidad.
Ta-ta.
Maud, Mr. Butterfield lied about taking a 747 to Trinidad.
No, but he's close. He's taking a Trinidad to 747.
Okay, I'll tell her. And I'm glad you had a good time.
Who had a good time?
That was Hank calling. Victoria just dropped him off and she'll be right home. I'll bet she had a great weekend.
I'm sure she had a great weekend. I'm sure her father had a great weekend. I'm the only one who had a miserable weekend. Didn't sleep one wink all night because of Mr. Butterfield.
Don't worry, Maud. I'll bet you Mr. Butterfield didn't get much sleep either. That lucky duck.
Walter, it is not funny.
No, it's not funny, Maud. It's inspirational.
Walter, it is not funny. Now, come on. I think, you know, Mr. Butterfield has been so self-righteous where Victoria is concerned, and yet he's staying in a hotel with a woman. A woman half his age.
That lucky duck.
I have a little story that reminds me of what we're talking about. There was once a little orphan boy who had a little pony whom he loved very, very much. Well, one day, the little pony ran away into the woods. The little orphan boy followed him. And when he found him, Walter, do you know what he did? He poured hot coffee on the pony's foot.
Me.
I wanted to see if you had any sensitivity at all.
Oh, hi. Is Victoria back yet?
Oh, no. She should be here any minute.
You know, Maud, maybe Victoria should know the truth about her father. The lucky duck.
I think Walter has a point. If Victoria finds out about Lola Trinidad, then she's not going to let her father run her life.
Vivian, I can't possibly tell Victoria that her father is fooling around with a young woman. I mean, it would absolutely destroy her.
But, Maud, you love to destroy people.
Vivian, you know the story about the little orphan.
I saw the movie with Buzzy the Wonder Horse. It starred Roddy McDowell. You know, I saw him the other night on the Rockford Files.
Really?
Yes, and he hasn't aged much at all.
Well, Roddy McDowell has such a boyish face.
No, 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 I'm talking about Buzzy the Wonder Horse.
I saw Buzzy the Wonder Horse in Oats Must Fall.
Maud, remember? Buzzy in Oats Must Fall?
Will the two of you stop talking about Buzzy the Wonder Horse? I'm very worried about Victoria. Her father's going to be here any minute.
Maud, I forgot to tell you, her father isn't coming. No, no, I've had this very strange feeling all morning. And you know, I'm very intuitive. You know, I inherited special powers of ESP from my grandmother. Well, believe me, when I tell you Mr. Butterfield won't have the nerve to show up here, he won't show up. Wait a minute.
What?
That's him now.
Or ESPSTINKS. Mr. Butterfield, we were just talking about you. You remember Mrs. Harmon, my husband.
Hello.
Walter.
Mr. Finley.
How was Trinidad?
As usual, a delight.
You lucky...
Walter! Walter, darling, don't you have paperwork to do upstairs? Say goodbye to Mr. Duck. Vivian.
Oh, right. Well, I guess I'll just be moseying along. That's what they always used to say at the end of those Buzzy the Wonder Horse movies. And then Buzzy the Wonder Horse would shake his head and go...
Oh,
charming woman.
And not a bad little horse.
I trust Victoria's upstairs packing as I ordered.
Actually, no.
No? My daughter's defying me?
No, she's not defying you.
Well, what is it, Mrs. Finlay? Where is she? Why isn't she here right now?
Well, I have some very exciting news. Victoria and her boyfriend, Hank, were secretly married last Friday. She just called and confessed to me on the phone. They're on their honeymoon now. Isn't that exciting? Well, I was just so delighted I told her she didn't have to be back here until Wednesday.
I'm home!
Or this afternoon, if she preferred.
What a nice surprise. I didn't expect you.
What happened?
I broke my toe.
Oh, my darling, I am so sorry. How did that happen?
Our tent collapsed.
Go to your room and pack.
Pack?
Victoria, I hope that this accident didn't spoil the honeymoon. I'm afraid I let the cat out of the bag. I told your father that you and Hank had gotten married.
You told my father I was married?
Victoria, look me in the eye. Tell me the truth. Are you married? Are you married?
No, Father.
Now, who are you going to believe, her or me?
Mrs. Finley.
Oh, you stay out of this, Gimpy.
Victoria, I know what you did this weekend. Your conduct is disgraceful. You are leaving this house.
I am not leaving this house.
Well, it will kill your poor mother when she learns of your behavior.
Mama? You won't tell Mama?
I must. I have no choice. Unless, of course, you decide to go back to St. Norman with me.
I'll go pack.
Mr. Butterfield, I cannot believe that you would stoop to threatening the poor girl's mother.
Well, it's a matter of integrity. I've always been straightforward and honest with Victoria's mother. I have no secrets from my wife.
May I suggest one?
I don't receive your meaning.
Does the word Trinidad mean anything to you?
Trinidad is a very beautiful island.
Surrounded on all sides by a middle-aged family man from the West Indies.
I just received your meaning. I take it you were at the Lancelot Hotel last night?
Right, and from what I gather, you pronounce a lot at the Lancelot.
It's entirely innocent. I see I must explain to you. You see, what Victoria did was wrong because she is a young woman. My case is different. I am a man.
Ah! The old double standard.
Ah, a student of history.
Ah, shut up. You cannot use being a man as an excuse.
Well, it works with Lola.
Does your wife know about this?
Oh, heavens, no. It would kill the poor woman.
She's a saint. She has no business living anywhere. What about Victoria? Would she understand?
Oh, no, no, no. It would hurt her deeply.
Well, Mr. Butterfield, the choice is up to you. Shall we hurt your daughter or kill your wife?
How much time do we have left, Father?
Victoria, I've been having a very enlightening conversation with dear Mrs. Finlay. And she has pointed it out to me that perhaps I am wrong to insist that you live up to my high moral standard. Being a bit straight-laced, I cannot condone today's permissive society. On the other hand, Vicky, I love you enough to let you lead your own life. Of course, you may stay.
Oh, Father, Vicky. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got lipstick on your collar.
Didn't even change his shirt. You know, I'm very proud of you. You have made Victoria very happy. But you didn't really think that I would say anything to either your wife or to Victoria, did you?
Of course not. I never thought you would.
Then what made you change your mind?
Well, Mrs. Finlay, you have a way of putting things. You are a very intelligent woman. I might add you a very handsome woman. The first time I saw you, you were very exciting. You were like an uncharted island, just waiting to be discovered.
Oh, thank you very much. Sit down. You know, I have a little story I want to tell you.